This is a replay of the Wednesday night, May 14th WGN show. We started right at 10 o'clock. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
Spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. A lot of discussions today about AI, actually, off the air, obviously. But this one takes the cake, as far as I'm concerned. There's countless reasons for divorce. Yeah, if we counted the ways, we'd be doing nothing else for quite a while. And some of the more questionable are those generated by a psychic or things of this nature. But in this case, we have some of that out there combined with, yes, AI. Now, the only thing I don't understand is why the husband's fighting it. I mean, to me, this happens, it's time to go, but apparently not. This is in Greece. It's a Greek woman, and normally we don't do things from way out yonder, no matter what it is, but we could find Greece on a map, so that's something at least. But nonetheless, it's just so out there I had to share it. She'd been married for 12 years. And apparently what she did was she made Greek coffee for herself and her husband, as she did regularly. She took photos of the grounds left in the cups because they were really interesting. It almost looked like a heart divided. And she asked ChatGPT to interpret them. That's right. Apparently one of the wonderful features of ChatGPT is tassiography. Yeah, AI-assisted tassiography. Look it up for yourself. The bottom line is that ChatGPT saw signs of infidelity, specifically that her husband was fantasizing about a woman whose name started with an E, and that the woman was trying to destroy her family. So the wife filed for divorce without telling her husband. Her husband says, oh, she's often into trendy things. One day she made us Greek coffee and thought it would be fun to take pictures of the cups and have ChatGPT read them. Now, he didn't take it seriously. Who would? So I laughed it off, all nonsense, but she didn't. He comes home, she tells him, leave. Informs the kids about the divorce, and the next thing the poor husband knew was he was getting a call from her lawyer. Now, like I say, to me, this is a sign from above to get out of Dodge. But in this case, he refused to agree to a mutual separation. So she served him with formal papers 3 days later. And he has instructed his lawyer to fight the case, arguing that AI-generated interpretation of coffee residue has no legal standing. He's innocent until proven otherwise. Well, no doubt, but I would assume that Greece is like the rest of the world, that you can get a divorce just because, so I'm not sure what this guy thinks he can do to prevent it, but more to the point, I clearly do not understand why he'd want to. This wasn't the first brush with alternative belief systems entering into the marriage. She previously followed the wife and astrologer's predictions for a year. So now, this divorce has set off just a wave of commentary on Greek social media. Those are always the benefactors of this, you know. And opinions from actual tassiography practitioners who were quick to point out that photographing leftover sludge isn't exactly how it works. Traditional readings also consider foam patterns, the swirl, and the saucer. This wasn't divination, just the algorithms doing their thing. And yet here we are. That's right, a marriage collapsing under the weight of ChatGPT. So, bottom line is AI isn't sentient yet. It doesn't understand coffee. It can't see guilt in a stain. Yeah. But it certainly can reflect fear, suspicion, or fantasy, whatever you bring to it. And you know that might be all it takes. All right, so there you have it. So, I consider that to be about as out there as it gets. But as I say, why on earth would the husband fight it? This is a gift from God. Get out now while you can. All right, well, maybe there's a lot of assets involved. I don't know. I don't know the rest of it. But I do know that she's serious as a heart attack because ChatGPT told her. Yeah. Oh, man. All right, Donna Beloit, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How you doing, Paul?
Better than this poor guy Ryan. In Greece.
Yeah?
Yeah. So what's up?
Your AI example.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you could do a theme night on divorce, synopsis and goings on. Yeah, that'd be pretty funny. Sure. I think your music is much more interesting.
All right. Are you calling with a request?
I did ask you to play Eddie Cochran this week.
Yes, and I will play Eddie Cochran this week. I'll probably do it tonight.
Just whatever one you'd like. Okay, well, you and I have talked about Memphis Central High School down there in Tennessee a few times. There's so many famous alumni and not-so-famous alumni, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, a lot of not-famous alumni. It's a big school.
Yeah. Well, I didn't hear about this. I know there's a lot of great Duke Ellington books out and stuff, but there's this famous, they just won this huge, huge jazz international competition. So the high school jazz band, if anybody knows anybody there, you got to give them a shout out. They won this thing called the Essentially Ellington International High School Jazz Band Competition.
All right.
And all their players and, you know, horns and so on. They won all these big awards, and then they won individual awards and best music and best overall band out of all these worldly outfits. So anyway, I just thought I'd say hello and give you a Memphis shout out because you spent some years in that area, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, Shelby County's talking about this all of Memphis because it's a big deal. The band went to New York for the prestigious competition and won. So good for them. They got first place overall and then outstanding and, you know, all sorts of things, rhythm, trumpet, trombone, on and on and on. So yeah, it's great for the school, and the kids came home and there was a big deal at Memphis International Airport and all that, a big celebration. So good stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's hockey and biking and so on. So I'll let you go, Raleigh.
All right. Thanks for calling.
You have a great show.
Appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. You're welcome.
So Central does have a lot of well-known graduates, and not only musicians, of course, as far as that goes. Art Tate, he's a football player, and you've got writers, and of course, Kevin Wilson. Probably the most famous, and you're saying, who the hell is that? Well, you might know it, not know his name, but you probably know the company he founded, Holiday Inn. Yes, named after the movie. Absolutely. So they've got attorneys and military historians and mathematicians and all that. And again, also musicians, including Alex Chilton, who, of course, the Box Tops, and more. So sure, good for Central High in Memphis. So that's the deal, and it's been around there for it's been around there since all of us have been alive and before that. But I think it was the first high school in Memphis, the high school, and it's Shelby County Optional, which is sort of like a charter school, and it's a system that's recognized, in this case, college prep and that kind of stuff. And It was the successor to Memphis High, which actually at the time was the first high school for whites. And then, of course, that horrible era ended. And that's the deal. So, all right. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Not a big school. I think, you know, maybe if it's 500 kids, that's more than I'm expecting. So it's not huge in the senior class, not in the whole school. But, you know, most high schools in the middle of cities and stuff like that, you see, you know, there's 783 graduates. No, it's usually more like 400 at this school. All right. So if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, and that goes for absolutely anything. I came across this, actually. You know, there's been a lot of the news lately about the Malaysia flight that disappeared, and the reason there's some kind of TV special on it. So all of a sudden, you know, Malaysia flight is in the news everywhere. Well, it's not the only thing that disappeared, as far as that goes. That was MH370, by the way, and. We still don't know. It disappeared from radar in March of 2014, and there's a lot of theories as to what happened. And the disappearance was somewhat erratic, I guess would be a way to say that, in terms of what was on radar before the disappearance. But yet, we don't know. And you probably heard me talking about that from time to time. Now, you know, there are those who think that they've discovered some debris, and they've actually been discovering debris since the beginning of this saga, sadly about 2015 or so. But they've got more theories now of what it might be. However, not the only thing to disappear. And one that I found interesting, I was looking for something completely else and ran across this. I thought, oh, yeah, this thing is a story that's 22 years old this month. And it was a Boeing 727 that vanished without a trace. And it was in Luanda in Angola. And it had been grounded and it was parked there at the airport in Angola. And suddenly it taxied onto the runway. This was on May 25th, 2003. No radio communication, no clearance, no flight plans, no nothing. Taxied onto the runway and took off. Now, this parked plane. Two men were believed to be on board. Ben Padilla, who was a pilot from America and also an aircraft mechanic, and John Mutantu, who was a Congolese assistant of his. And so there were a lot of investigations when this happened. All the global intelligence agencies and aviation authorities and talking heads and everything else. And they never found the two individuals supposedly on board. They never found the plane. Now, a couple months after this incident, it looked like that they got it, because there was a lead that a plane resembling the stolen jet was spotted in Guinea. But the State Department dismissed it, and they looked for it and said, nope, not. So since then, I say 22 years, who knows? The motive remains unknown. And obviously, the one you'd think of first is aircraft theft. And it might be as simple as that. Illegal resale, possibly. An accident over the ocean that claimed their lives. Maybe. I don't know. But it's still out there. And who knows? God knows I don't. So, yeah, there's a lot of mysteries there. We've completed the Menendi discussion until their parole hearing next month. But, of course, Karen Reed, who there was no trial for Karen yesterday because she was out sick. And there were a lot of people who were saying, you know, well, is this going to derail the trial? What if she's out a long time? What will the judge do? Well, it doesn't matter because she was back today. All right, so we'll tell you what went on, just in case you care. Otherwise, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And yes, I absolutely will play your requests, and including the one that Don asked for. So yeah, why not some Eddie Cochran next on WGN Radio?
I'm just sitting in the balcony, just watching a movie, or maybe it's a symphony. I wouldn't know. I don't really care about the symphony. The cymbals and the timpani, just sitting in the balcony on the very last row. I'll hold your hand, I'll kiss you too. But we're not through. I just
Jesus.
Sitting in the balcony, holding hands in the balcony, just sitting in the balcony, on the very last row. We may stop loving to watch Bugs Bunny, but he can't take the place of my honey. Just sitting in the back, you know. Just sitting in the back, you know. Just sitting in the back, you know. On the very last row.
Radio. I'm Ronnie James, and there he is, Eddie Cochran. And you usually don't think about sitting in the balcony because, of course, his signature song, Summertime Blues, was a big, big pop hit. But about a year and a half before that, he put out Sitting in the Balcony, and that was his biggest R&B hit. Yes, he did have them. And actually, it got to number 7 on the R&B charts, which was higher than the pop charts. It only got to number 18 there. And Summertime Blues charted too. I think it got to like number 11, but the real one was Sitting in the Balcony as far as that goes. And John Loudermilk wrote it, John D. Loudermilk. And actually, John D. Loudermilk put it out first and under a pseudonym. And then, here comes Eddie covering it. And that was the hit. And a good one it was. So, yeah, rest in peace, Eddie Cochran. Too soon, clearly. He was originally from Minnesota, but when he was in grade school, his family moved to Southern California, Bell Gardens, actually. In fact, I think he went to Bell Gardens High and dropped out fairly early on. I think like in the 10th grade or something, because he really wanted to be a musician. And he not only was able to eke out a career, and I think it would have been a lot more than eke out if he had lived, but he also did some studio work. He was quite in demand as far as that went in his brief appearance. And what happened, of course, is he had signed on to do a tour in Great Britain in 1960 along with Gene Vincent. He took his girlfriend, Sharon Shealy, the gal who wrote Poor Little Fool for Ricky Nelson, and some other things. Anyway, it was a cab crash. And he died. And so that was the deal on Eddie. But yeah, for a moment there, he really had it going on. And actually, on some of the Gene Vincent sessions, you can hear Eddie in the background. So, all right, that's where we'll pick it up right after the news right here with another one of your requests on WGN Radio.
Pearl's a singer. She stands up when she plays. The piano in a nightclub. Pearl's a singer. She sings songs for the lost and the lonely. Her job is entertaining folks, singing songs and telling jokes in a nightclub.
I'm Raleigh James. Elkie Brooks, 1977 A&M. And I have it on the request list. I don't remember who requested it or why, but a fine record it is. Lever and Stoller wrote it and produced it, and of course Elkie sang it, and just a great record at the time. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And David in Muskegon joins us again. So, David, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh James, I had a question for you. You know the old KILOAM out of Colorado Springs, Colorado? What was the frequency number on that radio station?
Oh, God. Yeah, the FM's 94.3. I'm trying to remember what the AM was. Why?
I wanted to see if I could get a podcast of it, like WCFL. I wanted to see what was in their top 40.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, right now it's all 94.3, the FM. I'm trying to think of what that AM was, but, it's not a radio station that I would ever listen to for any reason whatsoever, as you can imagine, but I'm trying to think who... And what's on that frequency now? Yeah,
because 1460 is the answer. And then there's AM 1240, which is news talk now.
Yeah.
I believe it's KIRD or K.
Well, 1240 is KRDO.
KRDO.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. No, I don't remember. And like I say, it's not anything I would ever listen to, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Because I wanted to get a little taste of what they
Listen to the FM. They're fairly true to form.
They are.
Yeah.
Oh, I do. I listen to the FM. I enjoy it.
Well, then, very good. Somebody has to. I don't want to. So there you go.
Okay. And second question: who did the song? I believe it was called "When Did Love Become a Crime" or "How Did Love Become a Crime." It was out in 1967.
It was? You better give me more, because that doesn't sound familiar. Can you give me some lyrics?
It has to do, I'm trying to think now here, with people going to court for falling in love.
Are you talking Unifix, Court of Love?
You know, that might...
I mean, that may... I don't know if you're into that, but Unifix did Court of Love... And that was probably 68, so you're close enough. That might be it. Here, let me let you hear a little about it. When you talked about, you know, the lyrics, that's the only thing I can think of. So here are the Unifix.
Will everyone please rise? 'Cause in this court, the judge of love resides. Will the jury take its place? Now, will the plaintiff kindly state his case?
I got a letter. Is that it? Are you with me, David?
Yes.
Is that it?
I'm trying to hear it. So
well, I just played some of it for you. I don't know what else to tell you. So
okay, the Unifix. Yeah. Court of Love, it might be it.
Yeah, it was on
Cap. I'm not certain.
They were kids at Howard High in D.C., and originally they were Al and the Vikings, and then they changed their name to the Unique Five, and then it became the Unifix, and, you know, they looked good on stage, they dressed well, all that kind of stuff, and like I say, they were on Cap, and Court of Love got to, like, number three on the R&B charts. It was a big hit, but then The Beginning of My End, which, you know, was top 10 R&B, and that was pretty much it, but I don't know what else to tell you other than I would almost bet that's the song you're thinking of.
Unifix, Court of Love. I'm gonna check it out on my Alexa.
All right.
Listen to the whole thing, because it's in the same vein. This song is Bobby Taylor and the Vancouver's. Did you tell your mother?
No. Does your mama know about me?
Yeah, does your mother know about me?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that's in the same vein, but absolutely, you know, what can I tell you? So, you know, and there were interesting members of Bobby Taylor and the Vancouvers. So as far as that goes, the one you would most know, Tommy Chong.
Yep.
So yeah, and that's pretty much a medley of their hit. They were from Vancouver, obviously, the Vancouvers. So unfortunately, when they were out, there wasn't any real rush to have a lot of CanCon. Otherwise, they would have been played a lot more often than they were.
Oh, yes, because in a lot of markets, they were not played at all. Just like Genesee and Society's Child.
That record was played everywhere. I would disagree with that. I'm sorry to say. I thought it was a horrible record, but that was played everywhere. All right.
That's it.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, you can tell me if it was Court of Love. You can report back.
Okay,
all
I will.
Right, thanks. Appreciate it. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And yeah, I want to talk about the Sea Crane Company. And, of course, my favorite, and actually I shouldn't say my favorite because I like so many of Bob Crane's radios because they have features that are unique to each of them that are really neat that you don't find anywhere else. But the one feature that they all have in common is just the best reception. And with the CC Radio 2, I always say, give it the sound test. Get your average radio, tune it to a weak AM station that you can barely pick up, then take the CC Radio 2E, tune it to the same station, it'll blow it out of the water. It's just that simple. It's not magic. It's not going to get anything that's not over the air where you are at the moment. But if anything can pick up that signal, the CC Radio 2E will do it and do it well. And that's not the only thing about it. It's my bedside companion. The audio is great, and of course, it's AM, it's FM, and it's a lot more than that, too. It's got, of course, the weather band and a weather alert, which is always nice just for emergency reasons. But more than that, it's also got the 2-meter ham band, which can be a lot of fun, and digital readout, a clock and a timer and alarm, a dial light, and you can fine-tune too, like on AM, you can fine-tune in 1 kilohertz increments. So wherever you are in the world, you will be able to listen to this, which is neat. You can go to ccradio.com anytime, and you take a look at the CC Radio 2E, the radio designed to receive long-range AM and FM stations and make weak signals strong. Yeah, the twin coil ferrite is a magic antenna for AM. Now, if you can't go online and you would like them to mail you a catalog, they've got a phone number, 24 hours a day. They'll answer all your questions. You can order online or they'll send you a catalog free of charge in the mail. And that's 800-522-8863. But if you can go online, look at that CC Radio 2E. Now, John and I have a little friendly fight on this because he has the CC Radio 3 by his bedside, which is pretty darn similar, but it has the addition of Bluetooth. So you want streaming audio and things like that to sound better than whatever you're listening on? Well, the CC Radio 3 will do it. But for me, that CC Radio 2E has everything I want and more. So sure, you get presets. You get 5 per band and so much more. 888-876-5593 is my number. Don't call it. Well, absolutely call it, but don't call it for the Sea Crane Company. That's 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. But more than that, if you can go online, do it. CCRadio.com. Easy to remember, CCRadio.com. You look at the CC Radio 2E, you tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
One month ago today, I was happy as a lark. But now, I go for walks, to the movies, maybe to the park. I have a seat on the same old bench to watch the children play. You know, tomorrow is their future. But for me, just another day. They all gather around me. They seem to know my name. We laugh, tell a few jokes, but it still doesn't ease my pain. I know I can't hide from a memory, though day after day I've tried. I keep saying she'll be back, but today again I've lied.
Oh, I see her face everywhere I go, on the street and even at the picture show. Have you seen her? Tell me, have you seen her? Oh, I hear her voice as the cold winds blow in
seen her? Tell me, have you seen her?
I'm Roddy James, and that was Marianne, I do believe, who requests the Shy Lights. Most happy to do that. Yeah, Marianne Chicago, why have you seen her? So now, in fact, she has. So good. All right, so 1971 memory. And, yeah, now, I think it was 71 the first time doing that from memory, but maybe, it, I don't know, it round there. Anyway, whenever. All right, one of those things where it was just driving me crazy during the break because I was thinking, where was Kilo on the dial when it was AM? And I know they got sold and got separated later, but driving me crazy. So maybe we should just move on to the Karen Reed trial today. This is like day 15 in this trial. And this is a retrial for Karen Reed. And it's a trial with a lot of intrigue because, of course, she maintains her innocence, as you would expect in this. But the dead man, former police officer, and with a lot of friends, and some of whom fine upstanding people, and others maybe disgraced officers. And so there's a question of evidence and control of that. And so there was a lot of that on the stand today. They had a forensics expert as far as that goes, and it was interesting because the information that she came up with was really not damning for Karen Reed. Asking if she tested for blood on the SUV's undercarriage, supposedly, you know, Karen Reed ran over him, and she said all the tests came up negative. And then they talked about that there were bloody snow collected in red Solo cups, and you know, they asked her about that, and she said, "Well, I've never tested them," and that surprised the jury. She said, "I don't know about this at all; just never did." And so then they got onto glass inside a broken taillight. And that was one where she really couldn't even follow the line of questionings, let alone come up with an answer. But the bottom line is she didn't find any evidence in the taillights that would have, you know, shed some light on this either way. So, you know, they presented a lot to her. And like I say, I think that there was a lot of skepticism as to whether or not there was anything to it. So that was today's activity. And there will be more, clearly, as far as this goes. Her defense team, of course, is saying she's the victim of a vast police conspiracy, and that her former boyfriend, the officer who had been killed, was not killed by her, but was fatally beaten by another law enforcement officer at a party that they had attended earlier. So it will go on. What we do know, of course, is that in 2022, Officer John O'Keefe, wound up dying in the snow outside of a house party in Canton, Massachusetts. Now, whether or not she, in fact, operated a motor vehicle while under the influence and ran over him and then left, well, we'll see. All right. So any questions? Yeah, this will be going on for a while. We'll get to Billy Bob and Bourbonnais and plenty of room for you next hour right here on WGN Radio.
I never cared much for moonlit skies. I never winked back at fireflies. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. I never went in for afterglow or candlelight on the mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. Used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and caused a spark that's a four-wheel on fire now. I never made love by lantern shine. I never saw rainbows in my wine. But now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light.
I never cared much for moonlit skies. I never winked back at fireflies. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. I never went in for afterglow or candlelight on the mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. Used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and caused a spark that's a four-alarm fire now. I never made love by lantern shine.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1945 on Decca, The Ink Spots, and Ella Fitzgerald, I'm Beginning to See the Light. And that was Dave on the north side wanting to hear it, so I believe we played all three of his requests now. Good, I actually found them. All right, so I think we're pretty close to done on requests. We got some somewhere from Stacy. Yeah, right. I know they're here somewhere. But other than that, I think we've taken care of business. Now, Billy Bob and Bourbon A wants to add to the stash. I don't see why not. So, Billy Bob, what is it you want to hear?
Oh, it's kind of a rather obscure one by the Animals called Gyp. You ever hear that? G-Y-P?
Oh, of course. It's not too obscure.
Oh, did somebody do that originally?
You know, not that I know, but I could probably find that out easily.
If they do, play the original group or something.
All right.
And then thank you for last night for playing Get On Up by the Estes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's just a wonderful song, an absolute wonderful, wonderful song. So
okay, but that Gyp, it kind of sounds like it had a driving beat like, what's his name there? Bo Diddley. It sounds kind of reminds me of something he did, but that doesn't click with you on Bo Diddley with that song.
The song is Hey Gyp. It's not just Gyp. It's Hey Gyp. You know, as far as that goes, I don't know who might have done it originally.
The one I'm talking about, they're talking about I Don't Want No Cadillac.
Yeah, right.
Didn't know that was a complete title. Thank you.
Hey Gyp. Well, and then in parentheses after that is Dig the Slowness.
And, I never knew that. I'm a very intelligent imbecile. This is the 34th time caller here.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I think that Donovan did it, and Donovan might have done it first, but I know it by the Animals.
Yeah, well, it never was a hit. It was just like on the flip side of an LP album I had by the Animals.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, believe me, it's...
I was just wondering who wrote it.
I'm pretty sure Donovan wrote it because it was written after for Gypsy Dave, and Gyp Mills was the guy's name. He was known as Gypsy Dave.
Well, it reminded me of something more like the 50s, so that surprises me. It was written in the 60s. Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Have a good evening.
All right, you too. So, like I say, I think it was Donovan first, but, and it was based on, and I see exactly what Billy Bob is thinking, because it was based on a Memphis mini song, but I'm pretty sure Donovan wrote it for Gypsy Dave. I think if it was before that, I don't know, but I'll have to look. But as far as I know, that's the history. And Memphis Minnie was I'm pretty sure. Anyway, that, so be it. We'll play Hey Jip, and you'll decide for yourself. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We say goodbye to Billy Bob, and let's see here. I believe we can do this. And we say hello to Robert in Stickney. How's it going, Robert?
Pretty good. How about yourself? Feeling okay? Or
You know, well, back in a studio that actually has a solid broadband connection, so it should be easier tonight than it was last night, but we'll see.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah, last night it was kind of
it really was. Yeah, and it's so funny because I had written to my my tech contact at the broadband company the night before saying, you know, we got a problem. I didn't hear back. So after the show, I said, here's your problem, and it's on the upstream. And he wrote back and said, yeah, we found it. We'll thanks a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll try and work on that today. I thought I'm not staying to find out. So I came back to the other studio. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know what? One of the reasons why I called was I remember like a story like way back in the early days of radio, they had networks like the Dumont Network and the Blue Network.
They never had Dumont Radio. Dumont was a television network. This was not.
Yeah.
Now, for radio, Mutual was radio and never television. But other than that, of course, you had CBS and you had NBC and the NBC Red Network and the NBC Blue Network. And that's what you had, and Mutual. And Mutual was actually truly Mutual. It was an amalgamation of radio station owners that got together to form that network. But Dumont was television only, and it was really pretty good. I'll tell you, their early programming was excellent. Captain Video and things like that. There were good things on Dumont.
I was still a little kid, but I remember some of those.
But I'll tell you, the fact that they did not have a radio network hurt them, because CBS and NBC both could rely on all their, because remember, when television really started to gather some strength, most people were saying, oh, that's radio with pictures. And it was really, really thought to be like that. And so the other thing was, you know, Dumont himself couldn't do it all on his own. So he had a co-owner, and that was Paramount. And there were so they had some money problems. There were issues with Paramount, and Paramount also owned ABC, and of course ABC got one of the NBC networks, obviously. And the other thing is, at the time, the FCC kept on doing weird things like having a freeze on television licenses or whatever. And ultimately, what happened was Dumont wound up being mostly UHF. And at the time, UHF did not have parity. You know, it pretty much you had a different dial on the TV, if you had one at all. And it was harder to see. And of course, to run the stations, ultra high frequency means it's going to cost ultra a lot of bucks to run that network, you know, run that broadcast signal, because it's got to have so many wattages. So there were, you know, that's why they're sort of the forgotten network. But that's some of, but yeah, Dumont was never radio. But anyway, what about radio networks?
I was just, you know, I was just wondering about the early ones. I thought, so they were part of the major networks. NBC was the...
Well, NBC had two networks. NBC had the Red Network and the Blue Network. And then in 1942, the FCC said, you got to divest one of them. And so they divested NBC Blue, and that's what became ABC. And NBC Red stayed as NBC. And so that they divested, they sold the Blue Network to ABC, which, you know, changed the name from NBC Blue to ABC. So that's how that happened. But, you know, this was something that developed over several years, as well as the fact that network programming was never, at that point, pretty much 6A to 11P or anything like that. You had a lot of blocks that the local stations had to fill. And that's one of the reasons there were so many teen dance shows, you know, after school, 3:30 in the afternoon in markets. All, you know, well, what else are they going to run? You know, so... That was the deal. But I think that ABC didn't get going on that probably till 45, guessing. So, yeah.
Then also, I heard too, this was quite a while back, that some of the live radio shows, even in the 30s, they would do them twice, once for the
east,
one half of the country.
Yeah, east and the west, later. Right. Yeah,
yeah.
That was not unusual. And of course, back then, the reason you had such a small number of radio networks is that to get from the East Coast to the West Coast required telephone lines. So this was expensive.
Right.
So nobody could pop up and be a radio network quickly. And, that all changed really by 82 when satellite-delivered programming made the idea that you had to wire America obsolete.
Oh, sure.
And then, of course, you could be Joe's Network and Grill overnight at that point. But prior to that, it was kind of guaranteed that you wouldn't have competition.
Yeah. And another thing I noticed is, as far as the call letters, it seems like east of the Mississippi started with W, and west of the Mississippi, they started with K.
With some notable exceptions. Now, these are international treaties, and every country has allocated some call signs. Like in Mexico, if you're an AM station, your first two call letters are XA, XE. And so no matter what it is, like when they say extra, that XA, it's XETRA. So XE denotes AM.
Yeah.
Now, FM in Mexico is XH. So all your FM stations are like XHRM or whatever. Just like, say, well, Canada's C, and so is Cuba. Well, it's the second letter that tells you more. Because like in Canada, when you're getting CF or CH or, that kind of stuff, that's all Canadian.
Yeah.
And then, the Bahamas is Z, it's a Z. So all over the place. And then the other thing, of course, is where on the dial are you? Because most of the world is 9 kilohertz spacing. See, in America, we're 10 kilohertz spacing. And what that means is that if you're in America, a station might be on 700, 710, 720, 730, 40, and so on. Well, the rest of the world, it's 9 kilohertz spacing. So it starts at 540, then 549, 558, 567, and on and on. So, you might be in Johannesburg listening to the number one morning man on 723. Because that's where it would be. That's why when I talk about the sea crane radios that you can tune in 1 kilohertz increments, you can listen to them in places that are 9 kilohertz spacing. There was an issue of whether America would adopt 9 kilohertz spacing, and they all went to this big summit in Rio. And that's sort of when they decided, no, we're not going to do 9 kilohertz spacing here, but we're going to extend the AM band. We're going to have the EB, the extended band, that will go, instead of ending at 1600, it'll go to 1710. And so that's what the EB is about, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah. One last thing, if I could get a quick request in. It's from the late 50s. I can't think of the artist. You cheated, you lied?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The Shields is my first favorite version, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
The Slades did it as well.
Yeah,
the Shields was my favorite, but the Slades had it, and the Galahads had it. A bunch of other people had it, too. I'll be happy to play you cheated.
Okay, great. Right. Okay, thanks a lot, Robert.
Sure thing, thanks.
I'll catch you again.
Yeah, okay. Right. Robert in Stickney. All right. That's my downfall. I'll write down the songs and forget to write who requested them, but now we know. See, just like the animals. Hey, Jip, who requested the animal? I don't remember now. That's a terrible thing. But you see, if I don't write it down, no clue. I remember the phone call. We'll get there. All right. And Jeffrey in Alsip's got some requests as well. So, all right, Jeffrey, get down with your bad self. What is it you want to hear?
First of all, there's a song that I really like from, remember the movie Paint Your Wagon?
Yep.
I wanted to hear Wandering Star.
Oh, God help us. All right.
And then Lee Marvin did that.
Uh-huh. All right.
And the other thing is, I heard rock and roll started in 1946.
This is a very big debate. In fact, there are books written on what was the first rock and roll record. It didn't occur like that. It didn't wake up one day and say rock and roll started. It morphed into it.
The only reason I'm telling you is I went to a record shop many years ago, and the guy wanted a fortune for it, but it said the beginnings of rock and roll, and it said 1946 to 54 or something.
Mm.
And and I was wondering.
There's a number of records that would qualify. Now the term rock and roll came from as used for records. You know, rock and roll is an old term. It's a euphemism for making love. But as used for records, rock and roll came out of a record in 1951 by Billy Warren, the Dominoes, 60 Minute Man. And the chorus.
Yeah, and I know.
Yeah, the chorus.
And I know another one in 51 was Rocket 88.
Well, that's Ike Turner, but he wasn't credited. But in any event, that's not where the phrase came from. The phrase came from the chorus of 60 Minute Man. And a lot of people say it was Alan Freed who coined it, but it actually wasn't. It was Leo Mintz who owned Record Rendezvous in Cleveland. But that does not necessarily mean it's the first rock and roll record. And Ike Turner even talked about that at length when he was still with us, about how not necessarily Rocket 88. There are many, many things that led into the development of rock and roll. And then you get into, what does it mean? And with that discussion, you wind up going to G by the Crows in 1954, because that probably has all the earmarks of what would be the first top 40 record. So we can go on and on.
Well, I was just curious if there was anything you liked from 1946 that might turn a little rock and roll.
Yeah, all that stuff is going to be rhythm and blues. Obviously, it could be country as well, but that wasn't my bailiwick. But I go into the Louis Jordans and things like that. There's a ton of things.
Well, I just wonder about 1946, because I never heard anything from that year. That they keep talking about rock and roll, so I thought maybe you might know of something like it.
There were a ton of things. You still have, in 46, hang on a minute, don't go away. Stay where you are. We'll talk about it after the news. I'll play something from 1946 to make you feel better. Don't go away. All right, we'll pick it up after the news on WGN Radio.
For you, that's all right, no mama, any way you do, but that's all right, that's all right, that's all right, no mama, any way you do. Well, my mama, she done told me, papa told me too, the life you live in, son, now women be the death for you. That's all right, that's all right now, mama, any way you do, yeah, man. I love that woman, but I got to let her go, but that's all right.
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. That's the original,
that's
all right.
All right now,
Big Boy Crudup. And by the way, Arthur Crudup did not chart with that. That was on RCA. It did have a distinction other than being in 1946. It was the first record, the first R&B record, the first blues record that ever came out on 45 RPM. Because, that was the format that RCA was bringing forth. And, of course, Columbia was working on the 33. But 46 was early in the game. And it was released in late 46, but recorded in September of 46. And you have... it's one of the 1946 records that is part of the fight of what is the first rock and roll record. And so we got several from which to choose. But Jeffrey and Alsop, so that's one.
Yeah, I like that. I know that Elvis later did that, but that was very good.
Yeah, well, that was the first one. Now, there were two others in 46, but there were two others in 46 that are contenders for being the first rock and roll record. And one is the original Open the Door, Richard. And I don't know if you remember that, but, oh, man.
No, I never heard it. That's why I've been asking.
Okay, well, Open the Door, Richard, was actually an outgrowth of a joke, and on the Chitlin circuit, you know, this is all people of color, to say the least. And Jack McVie used to perform with a comic, and that comic had a routine: open the door, Richard. And he was a drunk in the routine, and he'd try to get in the house, and he'd climb up, and all these one-liners like, you know, my roommate's in there. He owes as much back rent as I do, you know, and all these. it was all like that. But so Jack McVie came up with Open the Door, Richard, and like I say, it became a huge hit. I mean, huge. Everybody redid this record. But if you've never heard it, and I always like the Louis Jordan version, but here's the original.
Old band's been out to the club having a little ball tonight. My friend Richard went home early, you know. He's got the only key to the house. I'm gonna have to knock on the door to see if I can get in. Open the door, Rich. See, Richard sleeps in the back room. It's kind of hard to hear. Maybe I better knock a little louder. Open the door, Rich. I don't think Richard heard me yet. Knock one more time to see what's going to happen here. Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me in. Open the door, Richard. Richard, why don't you open that door? Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me in. The door, Richard.
Richard?
Richard, why don't you open that door? Richard, open up the door, man.
And the comedian who played the drunk was Dusty Fletcher, and you kind of had to be in on the joke, but it really was hilarious. He'd climb up on a ladder, and the whole thing was great. But so Jack McVie comes and does this song, and it's covered. It's covered by Count Basie. It's covered by Louis Jordan. It's covered by the Pied Pipers. Later, Pigmeat Markham did it in the 60s, and Bill Doggett did it in the 60s. So this was just a classic, and it got to number 2 on the R&B charts and number 3 on the pop charts. So that was 1946 as well. Now, there's a third contender, and this was on Capitol, and this might be probably the most sedate of the three, and that was I don't know if you remember Freddie Slack with Ella Mae Morse, but this was huge. House of Blue Lights.
Well, what you say, baby? You look ready as Mr. Freddy this black. How about you and me going spinning at the track?
What's that, homie? If you think I'm going dancing on a dime, your clock is ticking on the wrong time.
Well, what's your pleasure, treasure? You call the plays, I'll dig the ways.
Hey, daddy-o, I'm not so crude as to drop my mood on a square from way back. I'm in there and have to dig life with father, and I mean Father Slack.
Well, baby, your play gives my wig a solid flip. You snap the whip, I'll make the trip.
Well, lace up your boots and we'll broom on down to a knocked-out shack on the edge of town. There's an 8-beat combo that just won't quit. Keep walking till you see a blue light lit. Fall in there and we'll see some sights at the house of blue lights. There's fryers and broilers and Detroit barbecue ribs. But
it was covered by the Andrews Sisters, and most recently in the 80s by Asleep at the Wheel. But yeah, House of Blue Lights. And it was interesting because Freddie Slack and Ella Mae Morse were two of the real big stars when Capitol Records was first coming out. And interestingly, even though they were R&B stars, both of them were white. So that was House of Blue Lights.
Well, can I ask you something? Are those songs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now?
Well, I have no idea. You know, I don't particularly care for the ideology of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I wouldn't agree with much of what they do, so I don't know. I think they're I think they're too hip for the room. Well, you'd have to talk to somebody who cared, and that's not me. I early on opted out of caring about that because obviously they want to rewrite rock and roll history.
Yeah, well, I did hear you say that once before, but I forgot. You said it remind me.
Yeah, that's where it is. So anyway, from you mentioned 46, so that's three records that are contenders from 46 for different reasons. But again, you're not going to find a definitive record that this was the start of rock and roll. That's not the way it works. Like anything else, it's going to be an amalgamation over time of various music styles.
Well, anyway, thank you for your kindness, and I do appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
So, like I say, Steve Probst put together what was the first rock and roll record. He wrote it with Jim Dawson quite a while ago. I know there's an updated version, which I don't have. But, yeah, mine's falling apart. I probably should buy the updated version, but indeed, because it came out in 92. And Billy Vera wrote the foreword, and it's interesting. It's a real fight to say, well, which one was it? And everything's in there as far as you mentioned. We talked about Rocket 88, which yes was Ike Turner, but credited to Jackie Brenston and his Delta Cats, and Jackie did sing lead on it. But yeah, or the 60 Minute Man. But again, I really go with G by the Crows for a lot of reasons. And that was recorded in 53. But on and on. I mean, some people would go with Rock Around the Clock. I wouldn't, as far as a song. And of course, when it came out, it flopped. But when it was in Blackboard Jungle, well, that's all it took. And so on and on. And would you say that Elvis was involved, or was it all just covers? I'll leave it to you. So yeah, interesting, because most of it was covered. So there you have it. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Yeah, it's an interesting fight you can have, but probably not one worth having. But if you were to sit there and play all of the songs that might fit the bill, at least be a fun night of listening. Yeah, get some boogie chilling in there, John Lee Hooker, and more coming up. But so, I'll look for Hey Jip. I'm pretty sure. I don't know if I got the Donovan version on this computer, but I'm pretty sure I got the Animals. And, of course, you cheated. You lied. You said that you love me. All right. So oh, man. Stories about that. All right. So we'll get to Sherry in Naperville. There's room for you, too. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
You lied, you said that you love me. You cheated, you lied, you said that you want me. Oh, what can I do but just keep on loving you?
That is not the original. All right, so that's a cover. It's interesting why it's a cover and what the deal is. This record actually started in, of all places, Austin, Texas. Yeah, I know, no good deed will come out of that. It was by a group called the Slades. They were five white guys, Joe Conroy's group. And it was interesting because they had a little label. It was a label that had just started in Austin, Domino. And so they recorded, in fact, it was the second recording ever for Domino. And they recorded You Cheated. And in Texas, it became pretty big. And if you want to hear a little of it, don't worry. I won't bludgeon you with the whole thing. But
boom, boom, doo-wah, boom, boom, doo-wah, boom, boom, doo-wah, boom, boom, doo-wah. Boom boom doo-wah, boom boom doo-wah, boom boom doo-wah, boom boom doo-wah, boom boom doo-wah.
You lied, you said that you loved me. You cheated, you lied, you said that you want me.
All right, so it becomes a big hit in Texas, and you can kind of hear why. And so Dot gets interested, Randy Wood, who, of course, you know, from Randy's record shop in Gallatin, Tennessee. So Dot said, we'd like to release it. And Domino, I have no idea who owned Domino, by the way. I wasn't around very long. Domino says no. All right, now, I can't imagine what was up with that. So I'm sure there's a backstory that I'm just not privy to. But nonetheless, they said no. And so what happened was Dot was somewhat intent. They thought a good record. Next thing you know, gee, it makes its way to L.A., and the Shields cut it, which you just heard. The lead singer was Frankie Irvin, but this was record royalty, R&B royalty in the Shields. Johnny Guitar Watson was the baritone singer. Mel Williams was the second tenor. Jesse Belvin was the first tenor. This is, I think it was Buster Williams on bass. But in any event, this was huge. And so never, ever would have come to be. So here are the Shields. They're going to record it. Now, what label are they going to record it? They're going to record it on the Tender label. And you're saying, I've never heard of the Tender label. That's the point. George Mottola and John Dolphin's widow, Ruth, and Tony Hilder. She wasn't a widow at the time. But anyway, it was George and Ruth who started Tender Records. And who distributed it? Dot. Gee, what a shock. And it becomes a hit. And then everybody and their brother has done You Cheated. But my favorite version, you got it. It's just classic, I think, was a group called the Gauls Tones out of Philadelphia. They gave it an interesting little twist.
Boom, boom, doo-wop, 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 boom, boom, doo-wop.
You cheated, doo-wop, you lied,
doo-wop.
You said that you loved me. You cheated. You lied. You said that you want me. Oh, what can I do but just keep on loving you? Love is something. Oh,
I hope this isn't going to break up, because the good part is coming. Maybe it is. Well, anyway, I'll clean that up and get it to you, because it was an a cappella group, and actually it's hilarious when it starts to get into it, and it hadn't yet. But yeah, one of my favorites. Yeah, I'll tell you. And you know, the Shields version was big. Everybody loved that. And I remember so well embarrassing the hell out of Robert W. Morgan over this record. And he had been on a bass fishing trip, and there was something I was supposed to do for him on the radio, and whatever it was, I didn't do it. And so he called me and left me this message, you know, back in the phone mate days when everything was on reel-to-reel recordings, and said, you know, he says, you cheated, you lied, you know, and I'm with this, and I thought, okay, oh, I'm gone. Oh, I'm out of time. All right, well, I'm talking to myself. Well, very good. It's a fun story. I'll tell you the rest of it some other time, coming up on WGN Radio.
I buy you a Chevrolet. If you'll just give me some of your love, girl. Please give me some of your love now. Please give me some of your love, girl. All right. I'll buy you a Ford Mustang. Buy you a Ford Mustang. I'll buy you a Ford Mustang. If you'll just give me some of your love now. Please give me some of your love, girl. Yeah. know what I want. I buy you Cadillac. I buy you Cadillac, yeah. I buy you Cadillac if you just give me some of your love now, yeah. Give me some of your love, woman. All right. Yes, I will. I buy you a house on a hill. Buy you a house on a hill. Buy you a mansion on a hill. If you just give me some of your love now, 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 now. Then give me some of your love. Good, good love. All right. All right.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So there it is, 1966 on MGM, and that was in the States. It was on Barclay in France, a number of other labels. But that is, as I was saying, a remake, but not a remake of an old blues song. Actually, a remake of a fairly recent, at the time, Donovan song, who did Hey Jip, and then in parentheses, like I say, Dig the Slowness. In case you were wondering, let you hear a little of that. Sounds remarkably similar, actually.
I'll buy a Chevrolet. Buy a Chevrolet. I'll buy you a Chevrolet. Just give me some of your love. Just give me some of your love. Just give me some of your love, gal. Just give me some of your love. I don't want your Chevrolet. I don't want Chevrolet, yeah. I don't want your Chevrolet. Just give me some of your love, man. Just give me some of your love. If just give me some of your love, man. Just give me some of your love. I'll buy for Mustang. I'll buy you for Mustang. You a for Mustang. Just give me some of your love, man. Please just give me some of your love, man. If you just give me some of your love, man. If you just give me some of your love.
I like the Donovan version better. It was a B-side to a lot of different things, depending upon what country it was released. But there it is. Like I say, Donovan based it on Can I Do It For You. That was Memphis Minnie. And I'll see if I have that on this computer. I'm not sure, but if I do, we will play it. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Sherry in Naperville, what's up?
Hey, hold on.
Yeah, Sherry has to get off speakerphone.
Speaker. So hey.
Yes. All right, what's up?
Can you hear me? Hi, I've enjoyed yesterday and the day before, and because we were listening, mm-hmm. I wasn't going to guess on any of those questions, but what did I want to say? Oh, I got an idea for you.
Oh, you do, huh?
Yes, you know how you do the turkeys and what do you call them? Guilty pleasures.
Uh-huh.
And you haven't mailed out any prizes, which have been stacking up.
Right.
All right. So my idea is on Memorial Day, because you always say you work holidays.
I do. I'll be on the air Memorial Day. It's Monday Night Trivia, because it's a Monday night.
Okay. Oh, well, maybe the day after or the day before.
All right.
The Thursday before. My idea is MIA, missing in action for Memorial Day. Those listeners we miss, like, for instance, Leia and the guy that went to go find Scotty that's a pilot.
Oh, right, of course. Yes, we have it. Yes, absolutely. Dennis.
Yes, I forgot his name.
Dennis.
And believe it or not, the hominy guy, Johnny D. And I can't remember the lady's name that had, I remember her dog's name, Mr. Chubbs.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard her for a while.
All right.
So if they have any prizes coming, maybe we could all call in and say who we miss hearing from And you well, could send them an extra note to say, we miss hearing or these listeners in the crowd miss hearing from you.
All right.
It's just a thought.
Well, there you are. All right. Good thought. Thanks.
Okay. And also, what was the first song you played that I think was from 1945? Do you recall?
Well, they were all from 46 because the guy wanted 46.
Oh, well, but, something around there.
I played three 1946 songs, and probably That's All Right by Big Boy Crudup.
Okay. I thought it was lovely. And
Elvis did, too.
Oh, really?
It was his first hit that he recorded at Sun. Yep. A remake.
And, you know, because we hear, you're off the air. I mean, when the commercials come. Mm. We used to have this record store in Westmont,
uh-huh.
in Naperville, but it was called Remember When Records, and
sure.
when the son took over, and then he finally, after his dad died, quit. And so I'm sure those albums went somewhere. And I remember Lane Decker twice has interviewed somebody,
uh-huh.
I want to say from Oak Park, some kind of records.
Yeah, no, I know.
And they, have
they were on Ogden Avenue.
Oh,
Remember When.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Remember When record.
Yes, absolutely.
But at any rate, that is defunct now. But I'm sure they sold all their wares to someone.
Oh, of course.
And, yeah. But I'm thinking the guy from Oak Park that Landecker's interviewed twice might have something. So if you need whatever 45 it is, you can tell it to me someday, and I will search for it in my area.
I am not in need of any 45s, but if I am, remember my buddy Val Shively has 5 million 45s under one roof.
Right.
So,
well, you said, I heard you say John mailed
out. Oh, yeah, John did, right, but that thing wasn't released, you see.
Oh!
John mailed out 30 demo copies.
Mm.
Yes. He saw the box.
No wonder you were livid.
Yeah, he saw the box. You know, not livid, mystified. You know, that's all I can say. Absolutely mystified. What do you mean you mailed them out? Yeah. So, but no, nobody's going to find that. It wasn't released.
I said to David, I said, well, Raleigh has fights like we do.
No, it's not, like I say, it's not fights. Life is too short for that. But it's like, what were you thinking? Yeah, he'll do that occasionally. He'll just take something of mine and give it away. And so it's just one of those things.
My.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm sure one went to Scotty, which is a
no,
good
no,
thing.
No, 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 no. These went a lot, 20 years ago. Or more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, these have been gone for many, many years. These went to Philadelphia listeners.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And there was a couple songs that, you know, like yesterday, I think it was, somebody requested Make Him Whoopee.
Yes, I played it.
And yes, I heard that. And I was thinking, oh, you know, I never really listened to the words. But I heard it on WTTW. Sometimes I stream their show live. And it was Miss Fisher Mysteries. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the last version, they had played that Make Him Whoopee. And
mm-hmm.
and I'm glad you gave, like, the background of all the troubles and stuff. Because they could play at the end of the credits and everything. They just played a little. But I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah. It came from a stage performance, obviously. There's always a history in that kind of stuff. So that was Ziegfeld, you betcha.
But I loved Ziegfeld Follies,
yeah.
All their shows. I used to watch all their old shows when I was younger. But the other thing I wanted to say was maybe in that era, I don't really know, but you know, I always mention the station, but WDCB, and then there's a Carl Pearson that plays Jukebox Saturday Night or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Okay.
And he... played a couple things that I thought were very cool, and I don't know if you know them or not, but one of my favorites, I know the name of it, was March of the Bottle Caps.
Okay.
I don't know what year, and the other one had something to do with, I want to say, because it was in the 40s, I think, and this guy was singing, because I think he worked the graveyard shift,
mm-hmm.
And it was something, the storyline, because I like songs with storylines. The storyline was something like, please, Mr. Milkman, don't clink your bottles. I'm trying to sleep. Something okay. to that effect. And I have no clue exactly what the name of the song is.
Well, it probably was Milkman Blues.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Ella Mae Morse. Milkman, keep those bottles quiet. You know, that's more Ella Mae
Morse. Yeah, something yeah. like that.
That's Ella Mae Morse. That's more of her stuff.
But at any rate, I appreciate everything that you impart to us.
Well, good to hear from you always. All right, Sherry.
All right.
Talk to you soon. Thanks.
You take
appreciate
care.
It. You too. All right. So 888-876-5593. That was another Ella Mae Morse, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, keep those bottles quiet. But I did find Memphis Minnie. So we'll get to that. And we're going to talk to Nick in Baltimore. I'm looking forward to that on WGN Radio.
Wanna do something to you. Do anything in this world I can. I wanna do something to you. Yeah, I'm saying I wanna do something to you.
No, you can't do nothing to me. No, you can't do nothing to me. I don't care what in the world you do. You can't do nothing for me. Let me say you can't do nothing for me.
Buy you watch and chain, buy you watch and chain, buy you watch and chain. I wanna do something to you. Everything I wanna do something to you.
I don't want no watch and chain. I don't want no watch and chain. I don't want nothing in the world you got, and you can't do nothing to me. Everything you can't do nothing to me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1930, Kansas Joe, Memphis Minnie, Cannot Do It For You. And like I said, 1930 on vocal on. And that was one of the Brunswick products. And they'd been singing it actually on stage and stuff like that for a couple of years. And that's the song that inspired Donovan to write Hey Jip. All right, so there you have that. Now, Nick in Baltimore, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, good morning, Raleigh. That was quite a treat. I never knew that.
Yeah, and when you hear it, you can see where he got. He turned it into Chevrolet, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. You find out so much. You get so much information when you tune in. I wanted to ask you that real quick, and I promise I'll watch the clock here.
Good, because I'm incapable.
Yeah, well, no, you are, but you got 50 things you're doing at the same time. I told John I wanted to ask you something about the old radio kits we had.
Oh, sure, like Hallicrafters and all those, yes.
Do they still make those things? I mean, I know they probably do somewhere.
Right, I'm sure they do. Why? But you know that I say that, wouldn't it be terrible if they weren't? But yeah, you can absolutely. I don't think it'd be Hallicrafters anymore as far as that goes. But they're
well. I built an AM. Well, it was a kit. It was Radio Shack, which is
right.
I guess Radio Shack's gone though.
For the most part, it's still online in some form or other. And there are also a couple brick and mortars of individuals who were franchisees, so to speak, and they were allowed to keep it. But as far as the Tandy Corporation out of Fort Worth, Texas, no, they're not, don't have any brick and mortar anymore.
Well, I bought one from there one time. This had to be back in the 70s, I guess. Because I remember, you know, I was talking to John, and he remembers building a crystal set with his dad.
Sure.
And I had one of those things too. But I built this this thing from this science fair thing, and it worked. It was an AM radio.
Uh huh.
And I put it down in the basement, and I let it go for a year. Pulled it out a year later, and it was getting short wave. because of the moisture in the basement.
That's funny.
The values changed in
right.
the
right.
components.
Yeah. So much for the medium wave band gone.
It freaked me out when
at first, yeah, but the moisture could do it, absolutely.
I was getting RCI, Radio Canada, and I was getting Deutsche Welle. And I thought,
yeah. No, you absolutely can. I'm looking right now at Amazon, for instance, and they've got a lot of them, including STEM kits, like for kids. But, you know, here's an AM-FM radio kit soldering project. Oh, God, that would kill me. But God knows. And remember well being beaten for that. Yeah, there are several of them, more FM than AM, but there are several of them.
So they have them, okay.
Yeah, and as far as people who make them, you know, it's obviously not Hallicrafters anymore. Wouldn't that be nice? But, you know, it's Elinco does, yeah. Icy Station, Parallax, Adafruit, they do.
I'll have to look them up.
Yeah, and so obviously, you know, you mentioned shortwave. If you want to do ham radio, there's still a lot of that around. And I think that, like I say, I don't think there's any Heath kit left, but there could be. I know Tiger Todd is still around, but let me see if Heath kit is. That would be interesting because they were Heath kit. Hey, look about this. We are product fanatics. All right. I see. I can buy the AM SAT, Cube SAT State for $1,000 back in the amateur radio game. Okay, let's just move on. All right. Now, like right away. Yeah, these don't actually look like you're going to get to build them, here's an Explorer Junior AM radio receiver, no solder kit, black case. They're a little pricier than some that I saw on Amazon, but, you know, the Amazon ones, I'm sure, did come from the People's Republic of China. If that is your heart's desire, you can do this.
Well, that's cool. You know, I know we're getting close to the break here, but my first thing was I used a wood-burning pencil as a soldering iron.
Okay, it would work.
And that's what I did, yeah.
Yeah, as long as you have the right solder, it'll work.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, anybody who thinks you cannot solder material to material, if it's loosely woven, you know, like a bedspread and your sock, oh, yes, mm-hmm. you can. You know, but it's got to be loosely woven. Oh, man, I did that. I soldered a sock to a bedspread. Inadvertently, of course. I just didn't realize I dropped it. So, yeah. But, yeah, soldering can be fun, and a wood-burning pen will work. Anything to just heat the solder.
Well, it did for me.
Would. Why wouldn't it?
A lot easier than a soldering iron, really, sometimes.
Well, you know, I mean, it kind of six and one half dozen and another. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. All right. So that's where we'll pick it up on WGN Radio. Seems to be the instrumental track thereof, so that's where it says Lee Marvin. All right, well, we'll try and find it again. Worse than that, I don't remember who requested it, so I'm not sure who to blame for that. All right, so back to Nick from Baltimore, as it was.
Hey.
Yeah.
That was neat. I never knew that either.
Yeah, how about that? So,
well, the kits are fantastic. I wanted to throw something else real quick.
Yeah.
And I had never experienced, except for this one instance, when I was still a jock and I was working down at the station in Annapolis. Mm-hmm. We had a heavy snowstorm. Okay. And we had to, you know, to the two antenna array, directional. And I had never heard or seen a thunderstorm while we were having heavy snow. It was about 28, 30 degrees, I think. And we had this really bad, I guess they call it thunder snow. I mean, it's really...
Yes, it can happen. Sure.
It sounded like a bomb going off.
Uh-huh.
And we had, and this white, bolt of lightning, you know, came right through, and, you know, and it blew out the common point meter.
Okay. It could. But,
yeah, it did. Luckily, we didn't have to switch to the auxiliary, but it was we still stayed on the air. But they had to fix the common point meter. But I had never. I didn't think you could have thunderstorms in the wintertime.
It's very rare, and it requires very specific conditions as far as that goes. And it has to do with air motion, and it has to do with temperatures, and it has to do, obviously, with moisture. And you kind of think about it as a thunderstorm with snow as the primary precipitation. But the thing is, when you encounter it, and you don't expect to, the snowfall can actually dampen that sound, so it sounds more like this rumble from above, you know, than a sharp bang. So it can be really, you know, really eerie when you say, and of course, if you get the lightning, the snowflakes are reflecting the light, so it's even brighter.
Okay.
And, and so the two together, between that muffled thunder, because again, that's where it gets that, you know, rolling low thunder.
And it was long. It was it was just what you said, a rolling kind of.
Yes, it's a rumble, and it's not it's not a sharp bang. So, you know, if you've never heard it before, it's like, is the earth ending? And so you have to have, you know, the key is the temperatures have to be cold enough that it'll snow and warm enough that you can get a thunderstorm. And
it had to be, it was around 28 or 30.
Yeah, that's degrees. On the that's on the ground, but as I say, this is atmospheric. And
up in the air,
yeah, so you've got the surface air is cold enough to form the snow, the 28 degrees, but the warm air aloft is what's going to give you that thunderstorm. But it just normally doesn't happen. Now, where you get it, the Great Lakes for whatever reason, but also mountainous regions will do it, you know, on occasion. But it is eerie if you've never witnessed it.
We must have had a weird weather inversion or something.
Yeah.
Or a mini nor'easter, you know, cause I've seen a lot of weird things with nor'easters. That's how we get blizzards here.
Sure. Oh, of course. Of course.
Otherwise, we don't really get that much snow. I mean, we get, you know, 4 or 5 inches, 3 inches, whatever. But a nor'easter will really be, really bad.
You know, it's funny. I always say that the Weather Channel lives for these kind of events. You know, they'll show the same block in 18 different views to make it seem like the Earth is ending. But, man, you haven't lived till you've seen Jim Cantore talk about thunder snow. You know, he's almost giddy. He's just totally excited about it. You know, very often when you hear a massive amount of blizzards all over the place, somewhere in that mix, probably somebody hit some thunder snow. And, you know, the reason I mentioned Jim Cantore, I think it was St. Louis, and it was earlier, like in January, where he just absolutely was beside himself. It does happen, but it requires instability, and it is rare.
Well, this was, and the building shook.
Oh, yeah, from the rumble, of course.
Oh, yeah. But I just, you know, it was like it sounded like a bomb going off.
Longer. Longer. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. You betcha. And sure, that lightning absolutely can wreak havoc with a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. It did. But
anytime you hear thunder, you know there's lightning somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, thanks a lot. I wanted to throw that in.
I'm so glad you called. And I hope you will again really soon.
I will. Give you a call next week or so.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Hey, thanks.
All right. So, 888-876-5593. Oh, James, the man of 9,000 stories. Okay, it's less than that now. We've kind of curtailed that, but we got a couple real winners that I was talking about earlier in the night, but I'm sure many more to come. So there's plenty of room for you, and I hope you'll call on WGN Radio.
Seen a sight that didn't look better looking back. I was born under a wandering star. Mud can make you prisoner and the plains can bake you dry. Snow can burn your eyes, but only people make you cry. Home is made for coming from, for dreams of going to, which with any luck will never come true. I was born under a wandering star. I was born under a
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. You know, sometimes I'm sorry when I do find them. But that's the 45 RPM version of Wandering Star. That is Lee Marvin. And, yeah, that was done during the filming of the movie in 1969. It had been a musical in the early 50s. But this thing that you just heard turned out to be a huge hit in the U.K. Maybe that explains a lot. I don't know. But it comes from the soundtrack album, which, of course, Nelson Riddle orchestrated it. And you not only had Lee Marvin, but Clint Eastwood and cute Harve Presnell. He was a good-looking guy. And the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. All right, so there you have it. I forget who requested that, but maybe that's just as well. All right, James on the South Side, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you feeling? Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, yes.
I got to admit that in trying to find stories, okay, between the what is called the Happy Time, Happy News, and the Epic Times, they aren't quite as good, and Google, they're not quite as good as Newsbreak.
Well, I would disagree. You got to look further. And don't forget the Daily Horn. Oh, my God, the things that are in that thing. Yes, the Daily Horn. And you have to pick the right stories. But yes, absolutely. And, you know, what can I tell you? I had fun with the, normally I wouldn't do it, you know, from Greece, but that story about the woman who, after hearing from ChatGPT about her tea leaves, she actually filed for divorce. So
yeah, I said at first I wasn't going to say it, and I said no, this is too insane.
it was absolutely insane. But what's really, two things are insane about it. One is that the husband's fighting it. He should thank his lucky stars. The other thing is that it's just blown up on social media in Greece with people taking both sides of the story. I'm like, both sides? Yeah, but there you have it. So you didn't give me this, and it is pretty sad, but borders on politics. But I don't know if you heard about it. In Mexico, a mayoral candidate was killed during a live broadcast.
Oh, I didn't give you that
one.
Well,
yeah, I did see that, though. Yesenia Gutierrez, who was a member of the ruling Morena Party, fatally shot while interacting with supporters. And, of course, I looked all over to see, well, is this cartel-based? And
I probably would have to look, but probably most likely one of the other guys would probably have something on it. But, you know, that's sad because really, okay, what you have going on to a certain degree down there is, I won't even go too far with it. Is part of it is like anybody who seems to be in their way, at least the cartel.
Of course. No, of course that's the case. And, you know, so it becomes almost impossible, because any candidate who runs on "we're going to clean up the cartels," they won't live long enough to actually get to Election Day. No, it's absolutely true, and just a horror story. I have absolutely no idea what can be done about it. But on a side
note... Yeah, musicians. Yeah, musicians have gotten slaughtered.
Right, speaking of musicians, there's an interesting story. Yet another Spanish language station debuted on FM in within the last year in the Phoenix area, and I've listened to it quite a bit, and there are things that I really don't understand. I don't mean the language. I mean the choice of music and the programming and all that, and the way the jocks interact. And I'm listening to this, and so over the weekend I talked to a friend who is from Mexico and of course 100% fluent and all that, and I said, "Well, what would you say about this music?" And without missing a beat, he said to me, "Oh, Raleigh, it's cartel music." I said, "What? This is a music form?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, it's gotten to the point where they pretty much banned it in Mexico." And I couldn't get it, because listening to it, it sounds more like your grandfather's music. I mean, it's not current stuff, but he, without missing a beat, said, "No, Raleigh, that's cartel music." So I give up.
Yeah, and like there was a musician who's supposed to play at I think it's I'm trying to think of the Spanish thing that's up here in Chicago this year right now. Pelso Plura, I might be mispronouncing his name a little bit, but he got threatened. He had to like cancel part of his concert tour.
Oh, man.
And last year, I think it was, this happened.
So I looked it up after that, saying, you know, is this a thing? And they call it narco corrido, and it's a musical genre.
That's close enough.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I say to myself, what? And some of the songs have been banned in Mexico and part of the United States due to their glorification of violence and drug trade. Okay, well, that's the lyrics. But if you listen to this music, it sounds like music for the 90 to dead crowd. You know, I mean, there's only so many accordions you can hear in one song.
Oh, yeah, I know. They really go bananas, so I suspect.
Yes, I don't get it as far as that goes. So as being banned for the lyrics, I'd say I'd ban it for the music. And now there are Mexican hip-hop groups that are featuring themes and all that. So, well, there it is. All right.
Yeah. There's one that I had where from the happy news about two 90-year-old tortoises who became parents for the first time.
Really?
Galapagos.
Now, let me ask you, what is the tortoise lifespan there? How long do they live? Are they aging?
Okay, they can live, oh my goodness, they can live like, okay, some species can be up there like close to 200, 300 years.
All right, well, see, because this came out last month, apparently the Philadelphia Zoo, a 100-year-old tortoise became a first-time mom to four baby hatchlings, count them four. And all apparently are doing well.
Yeah, too bad all the things didn't hatch. It's laid, I think, 16.
Wow. So mom apparently has lived at the Philadelphia Zoo since April of 1932. All right, mom's been around a while, and
she's seen a few Olympics.
Yeah, to say the least, and they think dad is a youthful 96. Now the other thing that I thought was interesting, and I like anything Portillo's does, although here, of course, I keep calling it Portillo's and realize that it's not. But anyway, Portillo's unveils a new sandwich named after the Pope. All right. And of course, he is a Chicago native. So the Leo, it's Italian beef. Available through May, dipped in gravy and topped with sweet or hot peppers. Very nice. And this is also Italian Beef Month, you know.
Oh, yeah. They actually, if you are on the part of the Portillo's app thing, you can buy one, get one free.
Really?
Wow. Yep.
Well, sounds good to me.
Yeah. Let's see. The other one that's really kind of interesting is where they scientists reprogram cells. And, like, basically a reverse thing. Yeah, but, okay. Doesn't attack our type 1 diabetes.
Yeah, that sounds fine. But when you read the headline, scientists recreate first reprogrammed brain cells, this is a horror movie come true. I mean, so.
Yeah, that's the thing that kind of worries me. It's just like the putting the nano things into you.
I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm reminded of the Borg.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, but I guess if it's a loved one suffering from Alzheimer's, you're willing to try anything. But this was UC Irvine in Orange County creating lab-grown immune cells that can track down toxic brain buildup and clear it away. And that's wonderful, but I read that sentence and I say, what could possibly go wrong here? So I think I don't know who the volunteers are going to be, but it ain't us.
No, it's going to be somebody who's desperate enough to basically do this.
Yeah, or their family, obviously, because if they're living with Alzheimer's, they're probably not the ones making the decision. But it was fascinating. So we'll see where that goes. And I think you've pretty much come close to closing the show.
Oh, one song request.
Oh,
I was
going to
say, Hello Walls.
Oh, Farron Young. Hello Walls. Hello. All right, sure. I'll do it for you.
Okay.
All right, good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
All right, you too.
Okay.
Yeah, you just can't have enough Farron Young, really. All right, so we have 3 big hours tomorrow, and that's 21 hours from now. So already make your plans to be calling because I intend to hear from you. Now, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. I especially thank you who called. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do, and I'll ask you to do it again tomorrow night. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. This is a wrap. It's WGN Radio.